Sunday morning at 9, and also prayer time on Wednesday at 6:30. So please come if the Lord prompts you. And also we have Thursday night choir practice, 6:30 to 8, and everyone is welcome. And farmer's market every Saturday morning. We have any other announcements?
We have a birthday.
We do? Oh, okay.
Where's Taylor?
Taylor.
All right, Taylor, here we go. Happy birthday to you. Woo-hoo! Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Taylor. Happy birthday to you.
Yes. Pastor?
You folks that didn't notice, part of the tree came down across the street. The big maple tree, part of it came down. And after inspecting the tree, the rest of it needs to come down. The whole center of it is cracked. And it, that big, big tree. And it is rotten in the center. And Bruce Cadu is volunteered to come up. He's an experienced tree climber. He's going to come up this next week, if nothing busts. He'll be up and he'll start blocking it up into sections. And then we'll gather folks at Birdwood and recycle it. So bad news is the tree is leaving. Good news is we got a big empty spot that we can put a tree of our own, or we can better utilize that area.
Okay. All right. Thank you. I also want to mention the Daniel Plan did begin last Monday night, and we had five in attendance, and we're going to have two more coming for the first time this Monday. So there's still time to sign up, and there's still time to come for Daniel Plan Healthy Living and understanding, you know, God's purpose for our lives as He gave us this body as His temple of the Holy Spirit to serve Him and to serve others and to get enough energy in order to do so, you know. So we had a good week so far. Any other announcements? Yes, Elaine?
So on the back table are the pie servers for those that brought them to the Strawberry Missions Festival. There's some dish towels and one mug in that basket back there.
Okay, all right, thank you. And we'll go ahead and start with our prayers. We would like prayers for Art and Karen's daughter as she goes for further testing and treatment. Any news? Yeah. Okay. All right. So prayers for her doctors that they would know how to treat her and that she'll be able to be healed of that ovarian cyst problem. Also, prayers for Bob and Judy, Alma and Charlie, and all who battle Parkinson's. Prayers for our cancer warriors, Terry and Jeannie's sister Ruth, Charlie Roberts, Rich's daughter-in-law, Jacob, Roger Kerboy, Reverend Barb Wellner, Karen's friend Dee, and her husband as they battle cancer. Continued prayers for Jacob, baby Luke, Angelica Ward, and Alexis for healing, as well as all our grandchildren, children, and great-grandchildren, and their doctors and nurses that treat them. Continued healing prayers for Colt Coville, Jackie, George Curry, pastor's daughter-in-law, Andrea, daughter-in-law Andrea's mother, I believe, as they seek to find her medical problem, and Lisa's mom, Rich, Paul Lavoie, Priscilla Barney, who is Alma's sister. Lots of people to pray for this week. Any other prayer requests? Yes.
I can't remember the couple's name, but they live on Walker Road.
Okay.
Or no, actually Hidden Acres. And we're coming around the corner last week and they're in the high winds.
Yes.
A big, huge limb landed right on her little car parked. And it crushed the front and the windshield, but I can't remember her name. It's terrible.
My granddaughter, Kelly.
Oh, thank you. It was Kelly. It was Kelly in her car. And
oh,
it was
no.
Very bad. Okay. I felt so bad when I drove around the corner.
Okay. And
pray for Kelly in the car.
And her car. Yeah. And they get a new car.
The little car. It's littler now. So.
Any other prayer requests? All right. Please rise for the call to worship.
Good morning. Happy Father's Day.
Good morning.
We're going to read the call to worship together. It's number 391 in your hymnal. Standards for a Christian Home. Reading. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. These commandments that I give you today are to be on your hearts.
Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates.
Amen. We'll have the invocation. Father God, we ask that you bless us this morning as we come to honor our fathers. We ask that you use us to be your words and your hands and your feet in this world. We ask that you continue to keep us strong and that we continue to educate our children in the way that you would have them go.
Amen.
And now the prayer that your son taught us, saying, Our Father,
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Between churches here and churches in Florida. In Florida, they're not afraid to ask for money, and when the plate comes up, if the pastor doesn't think there's enough, he sends it back and gets another one. So we won't do that here, don't worry. It's quite all right. But we are told to give of our abundance. And it totally amazes me when I'm here in Wales, where I grew up, to look at how blessed my life is. How blessed I was to grow up in this little town, be part of this wonderful little church, have my family around me all the time, extended family, cousins. We are just so blessed. You have no idea. So we are asked to give our tithes, 10%, and from our abundance, an additional gift. And I know that you are all giving from your abundance, and the ushers will come forward. We ask that you accept our humbleness and our charity, and that you use this money to work for the church here in Wales and for the greater church of your world. We ask that it bless someone and everyone, the gift and the giver. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen.
You may be seated. All the children come down front. Mrs. Kibbe has a story to tell you. Come on down. Has anyone ever read you something out of the Bible and you went, huh?
Did you? Do you remember what it was? The day the Lord had made, that was kind of confusing. God just made the whole day.
I don't get it either. There are a lot of things I don't know. How about this verse in the Bible? How priceless is your unfailing love, O God. People take refuge under the shadow of your wings. Or, let's see, whoever lies in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. That doesn't make sense, huh? Unless you understand something. God is comparing himself to an eagle. It's a bald eagle, and look, she's putting her wings over her babies. She's protecting them. There's another verse that says, because you are my help, I sing in the shadow of your wings. Those little chicks are singing because they know their mom, or this could be the father of the eagle, is protecting them. That's what God means when he puts that in his Bible. Oh, mom or dad, because the dad eagles do just as much. They're in another nest. Okay, so let's see, there's another one here. It says, he shielded him and he cared for him. He guarded him like he was the apple of his eye. That means he was the center of his attention. And like an eagle that stirs up the nest and hovers over its young. Now, what do you think these guys, this eagle is doing? This is the dad eagle. What do you think he's doing?
Protecting the baby.
Well, he could be doing that, but that's not what he's doing this time. He's feeding them. But do you see how high up he is? You know what those little babies have to do now? They have to do this. They try to reach. But you know what? Dad's feathers are so strong, their wings are so strong, that when they do this, it makes such a big breeze that it actually lifts up the babies off their nest. And they start to learn how to fly by having to try to get the food to eat. So their dad is teaching them how to fly, even before they have all their wings. God sometimes teaches us things to do when we don't know how to do things. I don't know how to, before I learned how to sing, God had to send somebody to help me teach me. That's what this is about. Exactly. Okay, here's another one. It says, he spreads your wings, and he spreads his wings ready to catch them and carry them aloft. This is the first time aloft means keep them up in the sky. This eagle back here, it's the first time he's out of his nest. This is the dad eagle. He came right underneath because the kid eagle wasn't doing so good. So he came right up underneath and got right up underneath him like this and pushed him with his own wings. Good. So he could learn how to fly. And then he stuck by him and he was able to fly really well until he got really strong. And he taught him how to do all the different maneuvers, how to dive down to catch the food and everything. Because first he had to learn just how to fly. That's what dads do. But you know what? Not all dads do it. Because not all dads are perfect. Only God is perfect. So if you have a dad who makes a mistake and does something that's really not good, what should you do? We got to pray and say, God, could you teach him to be more like you? Could you teach him to be like the evil dad? Always there with us, that we're never ever alone. And even when we feel like we're falling on our face, you're right there to catch us. Mm-hmm. Father, I ask all these things in Jesus' name that you never ever let us forget those things. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. We we come to the time in the service where we quietly put away everything from the outside world. I need you to relax, clear your minds, only think of God, only think of the peace that passes all understanding. Father God, we feel your presence here in this place. We know that whatever is bothering us from the outside, you can handle it. You can take care of it. We know that you are holding us in your hand and that you are guiding us on our path. We know that you have a plan for us for good, and that all we have to do is listen. All we have to do is come to you in this time, in our own way, in our own words. And Father, we're reminded that sometimes we don't even have the words to come to you. And the Spirit takes what we're feeling in our hearts. We ask and we receive. Lord, speak to us this morning. Help us to understand your ways. Help us to do things that you would have us do. And Lord, please forgive us for our sins and our shortcomings. We ask that you bless all of our fathers, whether they are here or with you, Lord, whether they are perfect or imperfect. We ask that you make us all strong and be beacons for you. You have heard all the people on our prayer list, Lord, all the children and the cancer patients. Be with them. We know that you are the healer and that healing isn't always in the plan. But Father, we also know that you ultimately will take us all home to be with you. We come to you in silence for a few minutes, petitioning our own thoughts and feeling your arms around us. Lord, in the busyness of this hour, help us to learn, help us to react, and help us to remember to love you and to love our neighbors as ourselves, your great command. In Jesus' name we ask it this morning. Amen. Amen. We're going to sing Faith of Our Fathers, if you will rise, please. Number 692. I don't always encourage singing all the verses, but I picked out three short ones, so we'll sing all the verses of Faith of Our Fathers.
Thank you.
scripture comes from our hymnal, so if you'd like to follow along, Elaine's going to read, but it's in 508. See, dear, I have a thing about scripture. I can't ever get the numbers right. But God speaks to me.
The first reading comes from 1 John 3, 1-3. See what love the Father has given us, that we should be called children of God. And that is what we are. The reason the world does not know us is that it did not know him. Mm-hmm. Beloved, we are God's children now. What we will be has not yet been revealed. What we do know is this: when it is revealed, we will be like him. For we will see him as he is, and all who have this hope in him purifies themselves just as he is pure. The second reading from Hebrews 12, 7-11. Endure trials for the sake of discipline. God is treating you as children, for what child is there whom a parent does not discipline? If you do not have that discipline in which all children share, then you are illegitimate and not his children. Moreover, we had human parents to discipline us, and we respected them. Should we not be even more willing to be subject to the Father of spirits and live? For they disciplined us for a short time as seemed best to them, but he disciplines us for our good, in order that we may share his holiness. Now discipline always seems painful rather than pleasant at the time, but later it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. Mm. And the last reading is from Romans 8, 14-17. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. For you did not receive a spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you received a spirit of adoption. When we cry, Abba, Father, it is that very Spirit bearing witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If in fact we suffer with him, so that we may also be glorified with him.
Amen. 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 Thanks,
Elaine. I ask your indulgence to pray for me for a minute. Father God, may the words of my heart and the meditations of all of our souls be acceptable in your sight, O God, our strength and our Redeemer. Make us all come together today and learn from your word. In Jesus' name I ask. Amen.
Amen.
It's Father's Day. We all know it's Father's Day. Everything has been leading up to Father's Day. We have all the commercials, all the cutesy Hallmark stuff, all the things we're supposed to do for our fathers. This week, my father's been gone 13 years, which is amazing to me. It seems in some ways like yesterday I walked into the house I now live in and he was sitting in a chair. My father was a large presence, not only in my life, but in the life of most people who knew him. Father's Day naturally makes us think of our own fathers. It may sound oversimplified, but the first definition of what a father is through our own father's experience. When we're small, our fathers are perfect because we have nothing to judge them against or compare them to. Even if you live in or were brought up in a home without a father, there was probably a father figure around, a grandpa, an uncle, or a family friend. Now, I could show you a picture of my father, and by looking at him, you would have to agree when I say that he was perfectly created. 10 toes, 10 fingers, 2 arms, 2 legs, a body, and a head. But the picture I see of my father is not the one God created. You see, just by looking at his picture, you can't tell that even though he was perfectly created, something happened to him before I was even born to change who he was. I didn't know that. My father didn't have two legs. He was born with two legs, but during World War II, he stepped on a landmine and his foot was blown off. I wasn't born until 6 years later. I only knew the man with one leg. But he was my dad, and he was perfect. It wasn't until I was older that I realized that everybody's dad didn't have an artificial leg. Prosthetics were a normal part of my life. It wasn't odd at all to have my dad ask me to bring him his leg. I thought everybody did that. I'll never forget the time we were swimming at Davis's Beach over off the Stafford Road. My dad took off his leg and hopped into the water to go for a swim. Nobody thought anything about that. We were all family and used to seeing him without his leg. Suddenly, we became aware that someone had stopped their car along the road and was pointing out the window and gawking and saying, "Look at that man, he has no leg. Oh my, that's horrible." There were so many emotions that came to the surface: anger, embarrassment, regret. We were different. But until then, I didn't know that. I always thought my dad was a hero. He could do anything anybody else's dad could do. He wasn't some sideshow freak. But Satan used those people to open my eyes. He started getting his claws into my little brain, and it was the first time that I realized my father wasn't perfect. And to a child, he was different, and different was bad. I began to think that it would be easy to get one over on him. After all, I could probably outrun him. Well, physically that may have been true, but I learned very quickly that even if he couldn't catch me, he was always waiting when I got tired of running. As one of my cousins often says, we didn't have family meetings and democracy was not an inalienable right for young children. As another friend told me the other day, we didn't know our parents' business. When adults were talking, we were told to go out and play. They allowed us to be kids and didn't involve us in their adult problems. That was their job. Eventually, we earned the right to disagree. But as youngsters, we did what Dad said, and we did it rather quickly, without much debate. There's a million stories I could tell you about my dad, and I wish there was time to share them all, but time doesn't allow for that. So I'm just going to say that I'm glad I grew up when I did, with the dad I had, not because he was perfect, but because he did his best. He always cared. He loved God, and he loved me. In the early days of television, we had shows like the Ozzie and Harriet Show, Make Room for Daddy, Father Knows Best. Movies portrayed pioneer fathers who were strong, stern disciplinarians who believed that if you spared the rod, you spoiled the child. Many children were ushered out to the woodshed for more than a lesson in chopping wood. Now, I'm not condoning corporal punishment, but what I'm saying is that when we grew up, we knew there were consequences for our actions. When did that change? Today, we have baby daddies who line up 4 and 5 deep on daytime television to give samples of DNA to prove that they are or are not the father. How did being a father become a bad thing? It's an honor to be a father. I submit to you that what we need to do is start listening to God more and Hollywood less. We need to fill our churches fuller than we fill our theaters, our movie theaters. How did we go from one television in the living room to televisions in every room of the house, and from one Bible on every nightstand to searching through boxes of old books in the attic to find the one family Bible? By the way, I just have to say that I love the fact that we can carry the Bible on our phone or our iPad. Isn't it wonderful how God gives up and finds ways to remind us that he's always with us? He hasn't gone anywhere. He's still as close as ever. He's in your heart, remember? You asked him to be there. And if you haven't, please do. To reiterate, it's an honor to be a father. God picked Abraham to be the father of his nation. But why Abraham? He couldn't have been looking for perfection. Abraham was as far from being perfect as you and I. He couldn't have been looking for total blind obedience because Abraham made some pretty bad choices. So what was God looking for when he chose the father for his nation? Why didn't he pick Adam, Noah, David, his own son's earthly father, Joseph? What was special about Abraham? We read in Genesis 18:19, "For I have chosen him so that he will direct his children and his household after him, to keep the way of the Lord by doing what is right and just." C.S. Lewis, the well-known atheist turned Christian, said that many philosophers believe that we are born with a sense of right and wrong. If that's correct, then what right and wrong scale are we using today? Because it seems to change daily. And it definitely isn't the same one that I grew up with. Reverend Charles Stanley from In Touch Ministries says that God is the final standard of what is right. So there we have it. The scale hasn't changed in 2,000 years. We have. In our attempt to be perfect, we forgot the most important ingredient, God. Today, it seems to be okay to cheat or steal as long as you don't get caught. What does God say about that? He gave the commandment to Moses, "Thou shalt not steal." There was no clause in there that said, "unless you get caught." How did it get to be okay to kill 50 people because we don't like their lifestyle or what they look like? Again, it didn't. Right back to Moses, "Thou shalt not kill." No clause in there says, "unless you agree with me or I like the way you look." It says, very simple. And to quote my friend Joel this morning, "the line is drawn in the sand, thou shalt not kill." Those used to be no-brainers. When I was little and had to memorize Bible verses, those two were easy because you knew you weren't supposed to steal and you knew you weren't supposed to kill, and you got credit for remembering that. Now it's not quite so simple. What happens? What happened? I think that if we're confused, think about our children. Many of them are growing up without knowing right from wrong. We are not teaching them God's fundamental basic list of right and wrong. We don't preach it, we don't teach it, and we don't act it. The Ten Commandments are more than a list of rules to be removed from courthouse walls because they represent a specific religion. Our teachers can't teach the golden rule. They have to call it something else because of the fear of being labeled religious. We are allowing social justice to take the place of common sense. Hebrews 11:40 says, God planned something better for us so that together with us would they be made perfect. This was his plan for Abraham. God needed a father who was a godly man with compassion and a man who had patience. After all, he made Abraham wait 100 years for a son. I think God loves every single little child as much as he loves the nation of Israel. He picks every father with the same care and planning that he picked Abraham. If you are a father, it's not a mistake. It's an honor. It's a gift from God to be a father, biological or not. You are entrusted with molding and shaping another human being. God isn't lining up baby daddies and playing, well, you might be the father or you could be the father. No, he has a plan. So what went wrong? Listen to Hebrews again. So that only together with us they would be made perfect. What's missing? You know it. Fathers, potential fathers, stepfathers, wannabe fathers, everyone. What's missing? We need to be together with God. Gentlemen, you are the backbone of the world. Whether or not you have biological children, you are, in many cases, the only positive male influence that some children see. That is not to say that women are not important. We are the ribcage. Without either one, the body can't survive. We are called to work together with God and with each other. We are called to draw the line. Listen to what Joshua says in chapter 24:15. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Show by example what is expected and required. Honor your own father, even if as an adult you disapprove of his actions. It might be necessary for you to protect your children by not having your father or their father in their life, but find a way to honor something about him. Honoring doesn't mean agreeing. Don't let your anger and disappointment allow children or grandchildren to become disrespectful or mean. They need a hero. They need the perfect dad that God planned for them to have. How do you do that? Get together with God. My NIV Bible says that the duties of a father are to supervise religious observances. Do you drop your children off at church or do you go with them? It is a father's responsibility to educate children. This is to be an example, not to do as I say and not do as I do. The discipline and care of children are on the list, but finally you are to bless your children. In Genesis 49, we read how Jacob blessed each one of his sons. He had 12 of them. And verse 28 sums it up by saying, all these are the 12 tribes of Israel. And this is what their father said to them when he was blessing them, giving each the blessing appropriate to him. Jacob took the time to know his children. He knew each one of their likes and dislikes. He shared their most intimate thoughts. He treated them uniquely. He didn't give them all a coat of many colors, only Joseph, which initially looked like a bad idea, but it led to the plan that God had for Joseph. Fathers, you are a part of God's plan, but you have to work to make it perfect. Teach by example. Give respect and act with integrity. Bless your children appropriately. Know them individually. Be available to them so that you know what they really need. Be their mentor. Be their hero. And certainly last but not least, be together with God. Thank you. Happy Father's. Now we're going to sing one of my favorite songs, 584, Have Thine Own Way, Lord. And we are going to sing all four verses. I'm sorry, but it's short.
Amen.
And it's very important.
Don't be sorry.
Listen to the words. Now and forevermore. Amen.
Amen. Amen.